I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, WHO Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it.
To be famous.
Welcome to WHO Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And some people seem to think coronavirus is related to Corona beer. Hyphen. It's not.
Some people.
Some
it's like
people.
A People magazine report, isn't
it's
it?
It's People magazine.
I hate their take.
It's People magazine.
Their take is going to be either like a story about a man who killed his wife who had coronavirus, or people think that it's Corona beer. People. I bet that is literally like five tweets that they like got from online.
Oh,
like,
of course.
People.
Also, no, the real breaking news is that Ciara and Russell Wilson are expecting their third child. And they announced this while they were in Turks and Caicos.
I mean, the news.
What better place?
Really is that was trending. Like, not that it's happening, but that it trended.
It trended and I was like, oh God, what did they do? My first thought was honestly, I mean, every time you see a celebrity trending, you're like, they're dead. I just saw Gene Hackman trending and I was like,
no,
oh, Gene Hackman's
stop.
Dead. But it's his 90th
Russell birthday
today. But
Ciara and Russell aren't dead if they're trending. If they're over the age of 80, if it's Betty White, every time Betty White trends, I'm like, dead, sorry. Oh, she's
anytime
dead.
Any celebrity trends, I think they're dead.
Okay, well,
Billie Eilish trends dead.
That's a little
that's on
overkill.
Me.
Well, that's underkill.
It's on me, obviously.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about this people story, Ciara and Russell Wilson expecting their baby, quote, number three. I don't know why that's under quotes. Hyphen, see their exciting announcement. Exciting is generous. And also, this has two bylines.
I mean, this is what Ciara and Russell, I put them as one name. This is what they do now. This is like what they focus on now. What else?
It would be inspiring if I wanted to be a parent, but I currently
don't even think
it's just
it would
sort of
be,
baffling.
I'm not sure it would be inspiring even if you wanted
to
be a parent.
Two people getting pregnant? To
amazing.
Have the freedom to just like live their best lives in terms of like traveling all the time, being friends with Beyonce, like, and then also just like having a ton of kids and like having no
yeah,
cares
sure.
in the world because you're so rich.
Okay.
Ciara's like, music who? I don't know. Lindsay, right. Bobby, I know you love Living It Up because it was on the Cosmopolitan mixtape in 2011, but I cannot make any more music. I'm too into having children and going to Turks and Caicos.
I understand that she doesn't want to make any music. I saw like Melatonin or whatever she released, Melanin, that like single. I understand. It's fine. It was called Melanin. let's not get into it. I don't want to talk about Sierra's like career because it stresses me out.
Every black hooligan is about to call in and be like, Lindsay, please don't confuse melatonin with melanin.
I'm not confusing the words, but I confused her single, which no one did know or hear.
I will say Sierra's music career has more in common with melatonin than it does with
That's
melanin
rude.
Because it puts me to sleep.
That's that chocolate, that melanin.
Also, I was just saying literally last night as I was like going to sleep, I get directed to Tinashe's live Instagram in which she is rigged up to some virtual reality thing and she's dancing and there's like an avatar. So this is a mess. The girls are a mess.
I loved it. I loved it so much. Tinashe doing
like,
her virtual
what
reality.
What is going on?
The screenshot you posted where the random commenter saying, I can't believe Tinashe is the new Ashley O. Stephen Avalos, I didn't notice what he said.
I mean,
he said, except she's never been on a roll.
I mean, so not rude. To be rude, but Tinashe wishes any of the new songs that she has released has the impact of God. I'm on a roll.
Poor thing. Her album was so good and I forgot it.
It was
I listened
good.
To the whole thing and I was like, this was really
was
good. And then I put it away. What is the final letter in the hours?
The movie?
The movie, The Hours, ends with Virginia Woolf's letter to Leonard.
You're really like crossing
and
genres
says,
so effortlessly
and says,
here.
And it says,
there should
at the
be
end,
more effort.
This.
There should be more friction when you do this.
Hold on.
Oh, honey. Okay, what does it say? I can't believe Miley Cyrus had the best song of the year on a Black Mirror episode that wasn't good and a song that wasn't released. And she played a child avatar, whatever it was, a toy. It's not that funny. It's not that funny.
Oh my god. Virginia Leonard opening up the letter as she's walking into the river. Oh, honey. It's been okay. No, it says I'm trying to
wait for you to thread the needle here. The needle is flying through air, unable to be threaded.
I swear to God.
This is like
this
the
makes
most
sense.
Dangerous needle. It's like, will never be threaded. Just
here we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is it. What was Tinashe's album called?
Songs for You.
This is what it reminds me of. Dear Leonard, to look life in the face. Always to look life in the face and to know it for what it is. At last to know it, to love it for what it is, and then to put it away. That's me listening to Songs for You. Because I recognize the life.
What, and then
the
you
love,
just walk into the water?
And then I put it away. I put it away.
Imagine you walking
That's
into
what I
water
did to Tinashe.
And you open the letter and read that and go, yes, that is what the Tinashe album is like.
Okay, thank you for listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We have a lot of comments this week. I should play all these comments, right?
Hi, Weekly. Long time. JJ Watt is pretty big in the football community. Because when the hurricane hit Houston, he raised like $30 million donated to all the victims and all that stuff. But he's also just like super good at football. And he has a brother who also is good at football and I think plays for the Steelers or something. His girlfriend is very beautiful and also like super talented at soccer and plays for, I think she just got traded to Chicago. Chicago Red Stars, go NWSL. But yeah, he's like pretty big deal. I understand why he is the host of SNL, but I also don't at all because like he's not an actor I don't know, he's not in entertainment. I love you guys and have fun at the next SNL. Good form, Bellator.
Got so many calls about JJ Watt. Who
we
would have expected this?
I know,
this?
But I did say, everyone, is he funny? And everyone was like, not really. Or a little bit.
Saying,
or
yes. Everyone was saying he's not known for being funny, but he is immensely famous. And He's a good guy. He's a good guy. Okay. Everyone who called mentioned the Hurricane Harvey thing. Great. He's a good guy. Amazing. I also love that it's like, he's actually really famous and he's a good guy. And his girlfriend's very beautiful. So,
okay.
Next call.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Medium time. I think you both are totally wrong about Natalie Portman and that meme. I think if you think about all of the people she featured, they sort of weirdly bear a passing resemblance to her. So I think that she knew exactly what she was doing, and you all need to give her a little bit more credit. That's all. Bye.
I will never give Natalie Portman more credit. Ever. Not after watching Vox Lux in full. That woman deserves no credit.
And look, Keira Knightley, sure. They starred in that Phantom Menace in the Star War with each other, and they were sort of playing whatever they were, where she was playing her stand-in. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to understand what happens in that universe. Millie Bobby Brown, people say she looks like her. The other ones don't make sense. The Giada thing is not a thing.
No, I mean,
Emily Ratajkowski, not a thing. That
this is what she thought she was doing. It wasn't just like a random smattering of women that she found on the internet, which is funnier, but there is a method to her madness, but I claim it's still madness. Like,
it's still madness.
Like, that is a weird thing. And also, the point of the meme is not supposed to do other women that look like you. Her twist on it was not whatever. I didn't like it. And also, putting Millie Bobby Brown for your LinkedIn is rude.
God. Like, if there was a method to her madness, maybe 40% of it is method. At most, 60% of it still remains madness, okay?
I just, like, don't want Natalie Portman on Instagram, I guess, is the lesson that I'm learning from this. I don't want what she has to give me on Instagram, whatever it is.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Just finished the podcast and listened to you talking about Sputnik News. It's actually not a news aggregator. Instead, it's a Russian propaganda outlet that is state-owned media. They actually are one of the leading outlets that are part of the FBI probe into the Russian intelligence operation against Hillary Clinton in order to prop up Donald Trump as our president. There's a lot of stuff where WikiLeaks would go directly to Sputnik, and Sputnik would put out false propaganda, like Hillary has cancer and has diseases, about the election. They're sort of like gas on fire, except Putin owns them, he controls them, and they have a U.S. operations, but America actually has them labeled as a foreign entity, which is super interesting because it doesn't happen to most international media outlets. Just wanted to give you that tidbit because media literacy is so important in 2020 going into the election, and we should not be reading things like Sputnik News unless you want another 4 years of Trump. All right, thanks. Scargo, Gavin Pop. Bye-bye.
Sputnik News, bad. This is what the caller made us realize. Sputnik News,
but
bad.
I do love that Rita Ora is involved in Sputnik News' Russian propaganda. Russian propaganda.
And the actual most interesting thing about this is when we talked about Rita Ora on Sputnik News, as far as I can tell, this is the first time she's ever been featured on Sputnik News. So it's like, what's happening? Because I searched through their archives, and it's like,
Rita Ora now a
suddenly she's propaganda
Russian spy.
Yeah,
okay.
She's been. Oh no, she was mentioned in 2018.
Interesting.
But she's only been mentioned in a headline one other time, and it was because she suffered an epic wardrobe malfunction as flowy dress flies up to reveal bum.
I promise not to read Sputnik News for anything else other than Rita Ora news, but I do love to know that this highly influential somehow Russian propagandist website is using Rita Ora and its plans to infiltrate the minds of the world.
Maybe their numbers are dropping and they need more clicks. What better way to get clicks?
Rita Ora.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. I just wanted to say that it turns out Jade and Tanner Tolbert did end up losing their $1 million prize, which is pretty interesting to me. So I just wanted to call in and know if you guys had any thoughts about that, any comments, basically. Okay. Love you guys. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Wow.
They lost it.
I thought they were going to keep it. DraftKings tweeted a statement that says, God, it's really funny that DraftKings is like a real company because they really could be good for me. DraftKings has decided to update the standings for several contests. All customers affected by the updated standings will be notified directly. It is our general policy not to comment further on such matters. So, but like they didn't even say anything directly related to the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So now the second place finisher is the top.
Splinkle, and, 36.
And she is no longer on the list at all.
Yeah, they have not, apparently they haven't commented on it, or at least as of this moment they haven't commented on it, but they're just not there anymore. They're not named as the winners, or she isn't.
But it's funny because the second place guy, who's now the first place guy, is the one who got the attorney. So he sued them. So he must have scared DraftKings enough or had enough evidence against them as the first place to bump himself mm-hmm. up to the first place mm-hmm. or something.
Wild.
Interesting. Wild. So they did not get their $1 million.
Sad for them. Okay, sad. Last comment.
Hi, Who Weekly. First time, long time, first time. Thanks for talking about Lainey last week. I really like that band. One fun fact about Lainey is that for some reason they're huge in the Philippines. They were the most streamed artist in the Philippines on Spotify in 2018. And I think they played like 3 arena shows in Manila last year. So definitely a them in the Philippines. Crunch, crunch.
Me in Greece, them in Philippines.
Bobby, as a new super fan of Lainey, what are your thoughts? Mm.
No, I think that's great. We love when a band becomes very famous in not their home country, but just another country. That's very fun. Like whenever sure. it's like, America doesn't care, could care less about, God, America couldn't care less about Lainey. And yet, in the Philippines, they're like, we love you. We can't get enough of you. Ooh. They sold out 3 shows in a row, according to this website, Philstar Global, okay. which is, quote, the first time that's ever happened to a foreign act in Philippine music
wow.
history. That's big.
So, like, the whole country loves Lainey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Question. Who is dating Lainey
Answer.
Again? Lead Lainey. Who's he dating currently?
Hannah Cross.
Oh, okay.
Or
okay.
Nicola Peltz.
No, Hannah Cross. Nicola Peltz.
No, Hannah Cross. Hannah Cross. Hannah Cross.
Beckham. Okay.
Yes, Hannah
just
Cross.
Just wondering, because that's like what.
Oh, were you just were you pop quizzing me?
No, I didn't know. I was literally just.
Oh, you
asking.
Actually wanted
I
to
forgot.
Know.
I forgot. Yes. Oh, okay. So Lainey.
I forgot.
Lainey, we love them. Good.
Sort of like how Jessie J's huge in China, not her native country.
I wonder
Lainey,
if she's still huge,
in the huge
there.
I don't think that goes away. Your love for, as Channing Tatum taught us, your love for Jessie J does not go away.
That's true.
Once you fall in love with Jessie J, it's there to stay.
It sticks. She's sticky.
She's sticky.
Hi, long time. The Bella twins are pregnant at the same time. I understand like the mechanics of how someone gets pregnant, but these twins got pregnant at the same time. I'm confused. Can you walk me through it? Okay, you gotta go to therapy, buddy.
They're just like Julianne Hough, essentially. They're everywhere.
Although I do find wrestling more interesting than dancing.
Well, that's true. And I am happy this one found love with her Dancing with the Stars partner after being like dicked around by John Cena for 12 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
On the stage and off.
Yeah, we're being gaslit's the wrong word, but we're being conned into thinking this is interesting. It's
no,
not.
No, gaslit is the right word.
It's like
because
we're
everybody
not.
Everybody around us is being like, they're pregnant at the
Can
same time.
Can you believe
time?
It?
Yeah. It's not that.
And they keep saying,
weird.
In both of their statements or one of their statements, I'm not sure if it was Kyle Richards or Joanna Gaines who said this, but they were like, oh, it's you can't plan pregnancies. And I was like, there's an entire industry centered around planning pregnancies.
Yeah,
and I understand
can.
There are like little nuances there where it's like, even if you're doing IVF, like, sure, there's plenty of stuff about how that's very difficult, but it's not completely impossible to plan it and hope for the best.
Before we even whatever, I think what was unusual about it was one of them had been trying to get pregnant with a second kid for a few years, and
for
it was harder,
time.
Right?
Yeah.
Then the other one
Bella.
Wasn't
Bree,
even
sorry,
in Bree a in a steady relationship until last year, where she got engaged to her Dancing with the Stars guy after being with John Cena and having him like humiliate her on a reality show for like 5 to 10 years or however long that show went on. It's shorter mm-hmm. than that, but you know what I mean. So it is unusual that both of them happened to be in the right situation to get pregnant when mm-hmm. both of their situations were so different for so long. And maybe that's what we're supposed to be amazed about, but you're right. It is weird. The other thing is, like, I feel like it was just yesterday that we were talking about these women, and now everything is different with them.
Mm-hmm.
They even look different.
They this Jarrett Weiselman tweet. You're telling me neither of these women is Kacey Musgraves. I think that they both look more like Kyle Richards in these photos just because they're a little older than Kacey Musgraves. But also, I cannot believe how much, I never realized how much they look like Joanna Gaines either.
They look, it's this, there's a very specific set of procedures, and not even procedures necessarily, just fillers in the right angles and a face shape that mimics...
Sharp cheekbones.
Right. But like, think about how like Kacey Musgraves and Paris Hilton look alike.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird too. There are so many weird people's, it's just like one face melding together. And I know Paris Hilton has had that face for a long time. Her face really hasn't changed. Like, she really has had the same face.
The styling on that Paris Lasagna video was intense. And the way that she had, I mean, the very trendy, just like straight long hair.
Yeah. Well, that's, she's blonde. These women are all have dark, they're the dark featured versions of kind of Paris Hilton, but they don't, these two don't look like Paris Hilton, but they do look like the Kacey Musgraves side of that Venn diagram, which is, which is off putting. Mm-hmm. They also look like each other because they're literally twins. So that's the other thing is there's two of them.
We've talked about these women before, but let's just remind everyone who they are. They are the Bella Twins. They are pro wrestlers who have their own reality show that was a spinoff of this show about women wrestlers, Total Divas, and then they got their own show called Total Bellas. Am I getting this wrong, Lindsay?
No.
And
we've
like
done this.
We've done this. They're fairly popular. Brie Bella is married to another pro wrestler named Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Who is, I feel like the moment you open up a can of worms about a sports guy, a sports person is going to call in and say
him.
That we missed
He's
stuff.
Like a heel. They're like a cute couple.
His character in wrestling is he's the villain. But the thing about him is that he's actually a nice guy. So anything you read about Daniel Bryan is he's a heel in the WWE, but he's really, 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 really nice.
But the thing is, it was always like compared to who's the other Bella? There's Nikki and Brie. Okay.
Nikki Bella.
So compared to Nikki, they were always kind of second fiddle because she was dating the number one guy in wrestling, John Cena, for a long time.
And so
he was a big part of the reality show and they were this big couple and it was their relationship was like pretty fraught. Like she wanted kids and he kind of maybe
didn't.
They were
engaged and then they broke up.
Right. So apparently that was like not a good situation, even though that made them really fucking famous as a couple because it was like this like perfect wrestling couple. They break up. She goes on Dancing with the Stars, which is just, this is my, Dancing with the Stars couples is my favorite genre. These dancers, like when they get onto the show.
It's so sexy. I think it's like.
But it's always the men and the women. Always the men who bag the women stars. No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah?
Kinda. No, because remember Rob Herjavec bagged the female dancer.
Oh,
remember
and,
that?
Yeah, but also.
Ew, I hate that I knew.
Oh
that.
My god, no, and you're right. It's and Joey Lawrence bagged the other.
Joey Lawrence bagged the other one.
Okay,
right.
I'm wrong.
It's 50-50.
But the point is that if you get to be a dancer on Dancing with the Stars, she's
more famous than Joey Lawrence. Remember that People cover, and they were like, Dancing with the Stars marries this guy.
But it used to be that it would just be like, oh, I'm gonna really up my dancing exposure, and like I'm gonna really become more famous as a dancer. But now it's like, if I get on this show, like I could marry Rich, like I could marry one of these stars that I'm stuck with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fascinating that it's like our dirty dancing of it's dirty dancing of 2020.
Yeah, and it is the reality star that makes the most sense about like in regards to two people having like a romantic connection just because just the logistics of what these people are doing together. They're spending so much time one-on-one.
It's like flirting.
They're
dancing,
like being
that new
very
show
intimate
by Jenna Dewan Tatum.
Yeah. It's just like real. It's very intense. It's not surprising in the slightest that two people, like a contestant, would fall in love with their dance person because they're like basically having sex.
Incredible endorphins to like learn a dance and be good at it. I'm sure like it just shoots you to the moon in terms of your behavior. And you're like, wow, if I could have this all day, every day, the person you're with happens to be this dancer who's encouraging you and supporting you. And of course.
And we've talked about this before. It's like this show is not, the show doesn't exist to make people look bad. Like the show skews its difficulty level to be appropriate for each individual, like, star.
They don't want you to really
they don't want you to look bad. So yeah. It's like, it's a good experience to be on that show. It's not humiliating. And, I don't know, sometimes love is in the air. Yeah. So,
they came in seventh place. They didn't even do well. And at the time, she was literally engaged. And then they broke up their engagement in 2018 and canceled their wedding. And then she started dating him, like,
Artem.
Not much later. Artem. What's his last name? Are you going to try and pronounce that?
I mean, it's Russian, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's like Shinvitsev. Shinvitsev. Yeah. I've been watching Homeland lately, so I feel like I'm good at Russian suddenly.
Okay, interesting. Good. I've been watching Homeland.
But he's dated... He was married to Giselle Peacock, who I've never heard of.
What?
Married to Giselle Peacock for 1 year.
Giselle Peacock.
But he dated another Dancing with the Stars judge. I just put her in here. Carrie Ann Inaba. They dated for a hot minute.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, interesting.
Like at the beginning of the show.
It's an incestuous crew, I would say. Oh, yeah. Probably. They're all like hot dancers. Like, they recruit them in and they like, you know, all fuck around. I'm sure. That makes sense.
Okay. So these are the men who impregnated these women. So they are pregnant around the same time. They're due 2 weeks apart. They're already pretty famous, but people find out about this and they're like, send the photographers. This is the biggest news story of the whole fucking month. Oh my God. And now they got these wild people photos and I cannot deal with. There's the one of them holding up the onesies, whatever. They're in their glam. The one of them
prairie dresses,
pushing the baby carriages.
I know.
And I mean not strollers, like old timey baby carriages is so funny because conceptually it's inane. There's no baby in them. They don't have the babies yet. And I cannot get over this photo.
The carriages are empty. And then, but what's weird also because in one carriage where the baby should be, it says, in it together. It's crazy, Nikki Left says, of being pregnant at the same time as Brie Wright. I never thought that we would even be raising kids within a year apart. Like, the text is the baby in the carriage. Like, they put the text there. Oh, I feel like
they constantly... Do you think Nikki's always left and Brie is always right? Because even on the photo above, Nikki's always left and Brie is always right.
Well, you gotta tell them apart.
Nikki left Bella, Brie right Bella.
It's still hard to tell them apart. I'm shocked the Property Brothers didn't get in on this. Imagine the Property Brothers and the Bella twins, like, together. That would be... They'd be unstoppable. Unstoppable.
No, what's gonna happen is Zoe is gonna get pregnant at the same time as what's-her-name, Linda.
No.
And then they'll have their own people cover.
Okay.
Zoe's pregnancy is going to actually break our corner of the internet. It's going to break like our wing of the internet, like some weird dumpy closet. Like if the internet is a mansion, we're like a broom closet on like the third floor, a linen closet.
Right.
It's going to break that closet.
Right. Right. And the closet door just opens and all this like belly tee, all this like flat belly tee like rolls out and everyone's like, get the door. Get that door.
And they were like, why didn't you get the home edit to organize your belly tee closet?
And we're like, oh God, we insulted them on the podcast. We can't afford it.
We can't afford it.
They won't do it.
So this photo is really funny. I just thought the reason I put this E! Online story in is because
she rubbed
now
her belly bump
this is
in first
all
outing.
We're going to see for the next few months. Because they're not even super visibly pregnant.
Yeah.
And every woman is different. Not every woman gets like as visibly pregnant as others. But in this photo, this bump is slight. Okay. Like if you didn't tell me she was pregnant, I wouldn't assume she was pregnant in this photo. And it's literally her grazing her tummy. And it says, oh, she's rubbing her baby bump. We are in for an onslaught of this for the next few months. Rubbing the baby bump.
Yeah, yeah. No,
going
be
to
incessant.
Buy baby
are
to
they,
buy strollers.
And is the show currently on? Is the show coming back? It's all going to be on their show, too.
Well, I just...
And
I
they have
put
a podcast.
This link in.
Did you see they have a podcast, too?
Oh,
like,
God, the podcast,
these
yes.
These women are just like... They've turned this wrestling thing into just like lifestyle women.
Yeah, and I think The latest season of Total Bellas, which I think was the fourth season, was sort of a flop. Not a flop, but noticeably lower ratings. So the cynic in me is like, yeah, it's hard to plan pregnancies, but I refuse to believe that there wasn't a conversation where it was like, wouldn't it be cool if we got pregnant at the same time? That could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you can't plan it, but you can hypothesize about it and like think and like maybe try.
So they do
maybe
have a season
try.
5 coming, but it's TBA. We don't know when it's going to be.
It's TBA. And it's going to be about this.
But,
and it's going to raise the ratings.
But it should be soonish because their last season 4, started
was
airing
in January.
So it should be now if it was on time with last season.
Yeah, but they could also delay it,
right?
Because you need the good content.
No, that's anyway, what I'm saying. So maybe they get pregnant and they're like, okay, let's start now when we announce
it. Everything's feeding everything else. Yeah.
Well, you're right. And if the ratings are low, then like, okay, this is like a new twist on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I might tune in, maybe, maybe not. Artem's Instagram announcement was funny because it was I'm not tuning in. Artem's Instagram announcement was funny because he screen grabbed an Instagram story and then put it on his grid. And it just says, it reminds me of the delivery of get in another line from You've Got Mail because there are weird spaces. I'm going to be a dad.
It's a carousel. I wonder what was next. Oh, the sonogram.
The next was the sonogram. Yeah.
Cute.
The sonogram is tagged Artem as well.
It seems okay, what's next? Fine. Let's just play the next call.
It seems fine. It's funny. Fine. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour is over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up.
And
we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
that. Of their stories, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories in
any
the family.
Good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. That helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. If y'all follow me on Snapchat, you know I just discovered what Amazon was, and I successfully ordered pillowcases. Let me tell ya, I've never been more excited about something in a long time. Ha ha! Yes, I'm always the last to know. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Thank you for reading Colton Haynes' tweet in which he revealed that if you follow him on Snapchat, you'll know that he just discovered what Amazon is. Colton Haynes.
I tried to find these Snapchat.
Formerly Mr. Jonathan Lethem.
I mean, and then he went through a rough patch. Like,
But now he's got a good patch.
Yeah.
He's in a soft patch now.
He was married to the
florist.
What's
the opposite of a rough patch? Like a soft patch?
Yeah, went through a rough patch. Now he hit a soft patch, a nice patch. Not a patch of flowers, because that was when he was dating Jonathan Lethem.
Like a soft Bermuda grass. Like a really nice Bermuda grass.
That doesn't really need a lot of upkeep, because that's his old
no.
life. Yeah.
No. It's a little more expensive, but worth it.
So it's just really funny that he was like, if you follow me on Snapchat, like, I don't. And also, the reason why this is a thing is because he is still, I think the last episode of Arrow is, like, happening, or, like, the finale, or, like, he's really promoting this show Arrow. That's what, like, made him famous, basically, is his the end of Arrow, I think. So that's why I think he's on Snapchat, because that's where a lot of his audience is. They're younger. So he said, if you follow me on Snapchat, you'll know I just discovered what Amazon was. Okay, let's just stop there. There is no way.
No.
He didn't know what Amazon was. I'm sorry. No.
Lindsay, you have receipts too.
I literally call bullshit. I literally have receipts. Unless, I mean, you'd have to be
Unless he can't read.
Unless he cannot read. But
he's on a show, so he has to learn his lines.
Okay, but even if you can't read, Amazon makes it very easy to buy stuff still.
Also, even if you can't read, that's why Amazon bought Audible. You can be read to.
I mean, they're just, Amazon is like the themmiest store that we have right now.
There's nothing themier than the Amazon.
I don't know. Okay, so the point is that I found receipts, but the receipts are themselves like a little bit confusing. Literally the tweet right before this tweet, right before the tweet before, I don't know what Amazon is, he retweeted an announcement of a TV show he's going to be on.
And written by Elliot Glazer? Yeah.
And there are two pictures of him. And one is a picture of him with his shirt off and smiling. And the other is a picture of him on a red carpet. And there's a step and repeat behind him. And there's an Amazon logo behind him, directly behind him on the step and repeat.
Like, he walked past so many Amazon logos. And this isn't the first time.
Yeah, Amazon is. Then I found pictures of him at the Amazon Fashion New York Fashion Week, in the Prime Lounge. There are photos of him standing directly in front of Amazon logos. Yes, you could stand in front of a logo for something and not know what it is, but it just feels to me, this guy has been surrounded by Amazon and he didn't know he doesn't know what it is.
I don't believe it.
And we did ask him in his replies to come on the show and explain this. I'm willing to hear it. I don't believe it. And now I feel like he's never going to come on, because we would just be like, I don't believe it. I don't believe just him.
Right. I don't believe you.
But
I don't believe you.
I would love to talk it out and hear what exactly he means by that, because he cannot mean it in the most direct way that we're thinking, which is that he'd never heard of it. Mm-mm. Maybe he'd never used it. Maybe he never used it himself. Maybe his assistant would always use it for him.
Maybe that's the case. But
this is stressful for me because it's ridiculous and so clearly not true. If he was a bigger star, this would have blown up even bigger and we would have had more information, but it kind of fell off the...
So I found two other tweets where he, like, one tweet he actually, when he captioned the photo of him standing in front of the big Amazon logo, the one that's a smile that points from A to Z. Fun fact, you do notice that the smile, the little arrow on the Amazon logo, is pointing from A to Z. You notice that, right?
Yeah, of course I notice that.
Some people didn't notice it.
It's like the FedEx arrow.
I know, it's a FedEx arrow. I know.
Yeah, I know. I've seen
it. Okay, just in case you didn't know, I think it's a fun little thing.
It's not that fun. It's not as fun as the FedEx arrow. It's not as fun as
the FedEx. They're an evil company. It's fine. CFDA ambassador party for Amazon is what he actually captioned it 156 years ago.
He wrote Amazon?
He wrote the word Amazon in his caption. Okay. And then...
Someone did.
October 3rd, 2017, he retweeted a Deadline tweet that said, Amazon drama about 1980s soaps inspired by John Stamos' life. And he said, I'm a veil, lol. He asked to be cast on a show about soaps that will be on Amazon. He understands what it is enough to know that it makes TV shows.
Maybe he thought Amazon just made TV shows and didn't know that it sold stuff.
I can't speculate about what he thinks and what he knows. I mean, maybe I can. That's what we do.
Hurts me to speculate that this person didn't know what Amazon was. Because the more that we speculate that to be the truth, the more I'm like, what the hell were you doing?
Like, I'm not going to pretend like I don't believe Colton Haynes has been through it and maybe wasn't paying attention to Amazon.
Amazon. This just sounds like a little lie that spiraled.
Who's the human equivalent of Amazon? It's like saying you've never heard of President Trump. Donald Trump. I think it's the same thing.
I mean,
wherever you are on the planet, you've probably heard of Trump. wherever you are on the planet,
it's
you've
kind
probably
of like
heard
not
of
having heard
Amazon.
Of Oprah or something.
Yeah.
More so than Trump. These are not like quality call. It's not about the.
What was the first thing you bought on Amazon?
It's more about the level of fame. I think I actually once looked that up. The first thing I ever
was
bought
it pillowcases?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. But I have bought pillowcases on Amazon. I feel like my orders from Amazon go back so far that it's like embarrassing. How do you go all the way back to your first one?
Wait, let's see. I literally went all the way back to because you can click through all of your orders. I started my account in 2004, and I have the first thing I ever bought on Amazon, which you're gonna fucking die. October 5th, 2004. I paid $11.52 for the DVD of October Sky.
Are you kidding?
The DVD of October Sky. Because I really wanted to watch October Sky. This is before everything was easily streamed.
Mine only goes back to 2007.
Because maybe that's when you started your Amazon account.
How is yours from 2004?
October 19th, 2004, I bought The Positive Power of Negative Thinking, Using Defensive Pessimism to Harness Anxiety and Perform at Your Peak.
How that work? Did it work?
I don't think so.
Okay, so in 2007, I bought Med School in a Box, All the Prestige for a Fraction of the Price. I definitely bought that for Gab, which is funny.
Okay, oh, that's
and
cute.
And then I also bought
that's
The
cute.
Secret Language of Relationships, which I bought for Pauline. It's like a tarot. Yeah. But I feel like this goes back not as far as what I actually bought.
Maybe you were using another person's account.
Mine are so boring. I bought like laptop stand and like fucking cords. Yours are like interesting. Oh, I bought 10-pound weights in 2009. Look at me. Here I go.
That's really fun.
Bought the Time Traveler's Wife. What?
In 2009, I bought The Sims 3.
Okay. I honestly don't know. What I feel like this should go back further and it doesn't, but that's okay. That's okay.
Okay, next call.
Hi, Weekly. I was looking at pictures of Megan Pormer from a couple of award shows. She looks fabulous, but is she interesting? Why would I know her? Crunch, crunch.
She looks fabulous, but is she interesting? Question, Lindsay, do you have an answer? Sort of interesting.
She's interesting as far as we're concerned, she's interesting.
Yeah. She's a great Who.
The reason why you saw her and thought that she might be interesting is that she showed up to the Grammys this year and she wore a dress that says no war in Iran. She's from Iran and she's wearing the flags, American and Iran flags on either arm, kind of.
Sort of a cape.
But it's what's interesting about her is that she's like the opposite of Joy Villa, who showed up to Grammys again this year, somehow keeps getting invited to the Grammys and wore a dress that was like Trump 2020, her iconic.
Trump. Yes, he was impeached. And it was like, impeached, we stand, whatever. And it had some super PAC logo on the back.
But it's just funny that like astounding. We have these women who we have two different women who both like wear political statements on dresses in like a quote unquote fabulous way. And we have both sides of the coin, you know?
Yeah.
So this is that. This is the other side of that version, I guess.
I mean, good for Megan Pormer for wearing this shirt, this dress that says "No War in Iran." She looks stunning. Great to have an antidote to Joy Villa, but it's Comic Sans. It's literally Comic Sans, and I don't know why you would wear high fashion Comic Sans.
Why would you wear high fashion Comic Sans?
Am I wrong, or is that Comic Sans?
No, you're
that's
right,
Comic,
it's
Sans.
Comic Sans. It's Comic Sans.
You want to do something with a little more gravity, right? Like, you want to do something that's intense.
We can't let Joy
Villa win
this.
Give me at least a Helvetica, something neutral.
We can't let Joy Villa win this.
She didn't win. Megan Pormer, we're not talking about Joy today. We're talking about Megan, who is a really fun person because she's truly no one at this point. She, even in Iran, as far as I can tell, she's like sort of famous because even whenever you go to the websites, like she was on the cover of Cosmo, the Middle East Cosmo and the Middle East Women's Health. I think that's what they call them, Cosmopolitan Middle East. And even on those stories, it says get to know our cover star. So they're assuming that people don't really know who she is because
I think they might always do that. But yeah, sure.
She's a PhD in medical engineering, and she was sort of a scientist first. Like, this whole acting modeling thing is a new swerve for her.
Yeah.
That began, fun fact, on an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That's the moment, I think, where she turned from like, I want to turn this intelligence thing into something more physical, I guess. Like, wait, I'm hot as well. Why don't I also become a model and an actress? So that's what she's doing now. She was on an episode of Keeping Up the Kardashians. We'll play a clip here where she tells Kourtney about, not Kourtney, Khloe, about the BRCA gene. She does her blood draw so that Khloe can get tested for the BRCA gene.
So I'm going to ask a few basic questions about your medical history, and then you'll be all good to go.
Hi.
Awesome. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing? Nice to see you.
What results is Kim going to get now?
You're going to be tested for hereditary cancer predisposition and BRCA1 and 2.
So she's like a hot doc. That's she's a hot dog. Thing. And literally, it's so her thing that she was cast on the Kardashians to
as a hot dog.
Go, like, to give them a test or whatever.
She could do all of it. She can do
That's
all of it.
That's crazy.
So she has since started modeling more. Her website has this really aggressive. Her website is extremely aggressive. It's just like a slideshow of all of the covers that she's ever done.
Yeah.
She's also been in some Iranian movies. One of them, I have read, got good reviews. Renegade Alliance, The Cleanup. I don't know. Renegade Alliance, The Cleanup.
Shoot!
Does your mother know you dress this way?
Who do you think bought me the outfit?
And she has this YouTube channel that she's trying to, like, do something with. She just goes to red carpets and just interviews people. There's interviews of her. There's videos of her just interviewing J.J. Abrams. There's interviews of videos of her just interviewing Sam Asghari.
She's literally done everything. She's been a, host. She's been, she's one of those people that's, like, cycling through all the things you can do as a public figure.
Hi, beautiful people. Hi, everyone. It's Megan Pormer. Here I am at one of the top hair salons in Beverly Hills at the National Breast Cancer Coalition. On the green carpet at Global Green Awards, talking to all the honorees and presenters. Keep watching Dubai.tv.
Mm-hmm. She's trying to figure it out. And I think this is what kind of makes her interesting. We usually talk about people who have already figured it out, and she's not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's got what it takes to get there in a way.
Wait, is Not she be... a doctor? She has a PhD in medical
She has a PhD
engineering.
In medical engineering. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
But now she wants to be an actor slash model. And she's already been on the cover of really big magazines. So, maybe...
I mean, she gets herself invited to the Grammys, too.
How does that work? You have to get invited first, but then you have don't you have to pay for the ticket as well?
I have no idea. We're still wondering how Joy Villa gets invited to the Grammys every year. Wouldn't you think you wouldn't invite her back if that's what she shows up doing? But they love to invite her back.
No, it's good. They love the press. Did you click the Terrence Malick video that she did?
That's sick.
She released this video that's just her and presumably her mansion in Hollywood. And it's just filmed of her running through hallways and running through terraces in various states of glam and different wigs and styles. And then at the end, she says,
be who you want to be, no matter what.
Be who you want to be, no matter what.
No matter what.
I like that message.
Be who you want to be, no matter what.
I like that message. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Megan. Anyway, so after all this Grammy stuff, she got a lot of attention for wearing the Noir and Iran dress. She tweeted a photo of her, I guess, going to some event in some little black cocktail dress. And it just says, back to work. It's like, we don't know what your job is. But okay.
I mean, we're trying to figure it out, but we don't know what her job is.
Yeah. Is that what you look like when you go back to work? Me going back to work.
That's literally
getting out of a limo.
Like
back to work.
I love that her Twitter bio is PhD model actress, turning fantasy into reality. It's amazing. She's unstoppable, which is what she says in her tweet from 16 hours ago. I'm unstoppable. I'm not joking.
Good for Megan Pormer.
Yeah, truly good
I
for
think
her.
That she clearly is on to something. I feel like there are certain people who, when they're good looking and they have some disposable income, this is exactly what Half of Our Podcast is about. It's like, if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. And we shouldn't have Warren Iran. She's right. But also, she's right.
She's right. Back to work. I'm unstoppable. Okay. Imagine, let's go back 4 years. We're starting this podcast.
Stop.
We don't know who Halsey is really.
We don't know who Halsey is.
What if this call showed up on our inbox? We didn't even have an inbox at this point. And it said, Halsey did 9/11, crunch, crunch. What would we have thought? Right now, it makes perfect sense to me. But would it have made perfect sense 4 years ago when we started this?
Honestly, I would have thought, I cannot believe this woman got herself in another pickle to which people think she did.
So in yet another and maybe the most absurd example of celebrities getting mad at critics.
This must be the peak of this trend because her doing this had the most backlash because of how she did it than the people before her. So before her, it was Lizzo, Ariana Grande. Who else? We had Lana stuff.
We had some One Direction people.
But this is very specific because this is a pitch.
Lizzo,
for...
yeah, Lizzo's a big one. Liam. Right.
Liam, whatever his name is. They all had different reactions to different outlets. Like one was for one was that the NPR Lana piece. One was, you know, there's all different places. This is actually the most like kind of authentic mean critic thing because it goes right to Pitchfork, who are known for having the ratings, you know, when they rate stuff,
right? And also but the rating they gave her wasn't all that bad. And by Pitchfork
not at
standards.
All they gave her a 6.5, which is like not as bad as other people. She was higher than Camila Cabello's album, higher than the Harry Styles album. The point is that she tweets, mm-hmm. and like, how misguided is this? She tweets, can the basement that they run Pitchfork out of just collapse already?
No. Okay. Let's go back a couple years. Pitchfork was recently bought by Condé Nast.
To be fair, that's kind of funny if it wasn't tweeted by Halsey. Like, it is funny yeah. to be like, Pitchfork is run out of a basement because...
Also... Sorry.
No, there's no reason to say because. But you're right. Continue the story.
And when you're this famous, bad reviews don't matter.
Also, she definitely
didn't.
You're
so successful when you're at that
on
that
tier. She definitely saw the tweet. She definitely saw one of their tweets that was like, Halsey's album is like not that good. And then here's the link.
Her assistant told them about the number. That's it.
I'm sure she just saw a tweet. I'm sure.
So Pitchfork was bought by Condé Nast 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, a while ago. It almost makes it worse for her. Not that it really matters. They're bought by Condé Nast. Condé Nast, when they opened up the new World Trade Center, One World Trade Center, Condé Nast was very quickly one of their anchor tenants. They have a lot of space in One World Trade Center. Guess who's there? All of their brands, including Pitchfork. And they're kind of up high up there. You know, Pitchfork's kind of up high. They're not in the basement. So what's below them? Kind of the upper middle is below them on One World Trade Center. And if that collapses, the World Trade Center falls down. So Halsey was sort of calling for another 9/11.
She wasn't.
In a way.
It's not
in
funny.
In a way, she was calling for another 9/11. When this is brought to her attention.
Imagine thinking you're making an edgy joke, but your joke is so much more edgy than you could have ever imagined.
Like, Halsey is not smart enough to, like, know this. And even if she were, that would also be fucked up. So she finds out, she deleted it, and she tweets, absolutely deleted it upon realizing this, was just trying to make a joke, intended zero harm, just figured I could poke at them back with the same aloof passive aggression they poke at artists with? Clearly a misunderstanding. Okay, let's get one thing straight. Pitchfork is not passive aggressive, they're aggressive. So that's first thing.
Right, and like... this stereotype of Pitchfork being like hipsters, like with like indifferent whatever, is so
they're
old
literally
and so
the man
not
now.
Accurate. Like they're literally owned by Condé Nast, right? They're part of this like publishing empire. And also nobody does reviews with more like specificity and like intense, like kind of.
No one listened to Halsey's album as hard as the Pitchfork writer.
Right.
Did. You know?
Exactly. So if that's indifference, then you're nuts. Like the kind of like hipster stereotype thing is so inaccurate. Like these people work so hard and listen to music that you will never hear in your entire life unless you heard it about it from them. So like whatever. So the point is that then there starts to be all of the headlines about Halsey wanting a 9/11. And she's so mad because honestly, what's so funny is like it is like kind of sad how it spun out of control. I felt for her. This is the first time I've ever felt for
Halsey. I feel a little for her, but also she will weather this stupid ass storm. Like knowing that she will be fine is. There's no.
Like everyone else got mad at journalism and like no one cared, but Halsey got headlines that are like Halsey wants 9/11. You know, like that is a lot.
Okay. I want to just see all of the headlines for this. It's just. Vulture. Halsey is very sorry for accidentally calling for another 9/11. BuzzFeed. Halsey accidentally tweeted a terrible 9/11 joke and people called her out. PopBuzz. Halsey apologizes for unintentional 9/11 joke. Halsey accidentally jokes about the collapse of One World Trade. Page 6. Daily Dot. Halsey accidentally called for another 9/11. It's complex. Halsey deletes tweet, mistakenly calling for One World Trade Center to collapse.
Fans drag Halsey after she accidentally tweets a 9/11 joke.
I mean, it wasn't really a 9/11
accidentally
joke.
Accidentally tweeting a 9/11
That's
joke.
That's wrong. No, she it wasn't. She accidentally called for One World Trade Center's collapse, yes. But she... It's not funny, but it's at the same time so funny.
I'm sorry. To accidentally make a 9/11 joke is funny. Accidentally? Like, you didn't even mean to? Come on. That's funny. So then she tweets, clickbait garbage, which for the first time in her life, she's correct.
These tweets that Complex found. Demon Squid. Halsey accidentally taking out the Bon Appetit test kitchen. True. Okay. Also Conde. Franzia Mom.
Oh, yeah. They're like on a
Franzia
lower
Mom.
Level.
Pitchfork. The album is good, not great. Halsey. They should have another 9/11.
Stop.
It's Larry Fitzmaurice.
She didn't even get a bad review.
My serious Halsey plus Pitchfork opinion is that the number of people who read music criticism is so small that if I were still there, I'd be pleased as punch she mentioned them at all. Also, attention is extremely validating to me. Halsey, threatened me with a war crime. It's just like... Oh, okay, enough about Halsey.
And it was like right before she was on SNL,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
That was the lead up to her SNL appearance.
Did they do a skit about it? I don't know. We weren't there.
I don't know, but
okay.
It's probably funnier. It was probably funnier than anything else. Okay.
Next call.
But please don't be mean to me. I have a very busy day too, okay? So it really makes me upset. Please don't be mean to me.
Okay, let's move on. Last call.
Hey, why are we supposed to care about Oscar presenters? It feels like this year in particular, they're really trying to publicize who the presenters are, and it's like, who cares, right? I mean, it's just going to be like famous actors and actresses of the films that are nominated. I don't know why, and it feels like they're getting a lot of heat on Twitter about like who's presenting. I also know that it's sometimes like a secret to know, like you're not supposed to actually know who's presenting, and if someone like divulges that information, it's like bad. Anyways, maybe you can enlighten why anyone cares about the presenters. I mean, why does anyone care about the Oscars anyways, but specifically presenters? All right, thanks. Bye.
The answer to this is actually very easy, but I am happy to talk about it because the list is fun. The list is sort of fun. I don't know. The reason people care about it more this year than they have in years past is very, very simple. There's no host. Yet again, there's no host, and they have to drum up buzz in some way. So it's like, oh, Kelly Marie Tran's going to be there. Saw some viral tweets about that. What was the tweet? It was like, she's probably going to say more as a host than she did in the last Star Wars movie. Kristen Wiig's going to be there. She's hot. Julie Louis Dreyfus, always hot. Gal Gadot, new face of Smartwater. Timothée Chalamet, Zazie Beetz, Mahershala Ali. Like, we have to know who's presenting if we're going to tune in because we don't have a
host.
Right,
right.
That's it.
We want to know who the stars are going to be who are there because other than the nominees,
yeah.
It has to be exciting.
And right, as a general rule, a lot of the previous winners of the acting awards present the next time, so we know to expect those people. But it's like, who's going to present Best Picture? That's always sort of a fun thing to speculate about. It probably won't be any of these people, but I don't know. That's why we're talking about it.
It's fun to have past winners. It's fun to have like weird combinations, mm-hmm. Although the Oscars does less of that than other award shows. And the other thing is fun to have is like when they randomly try to shoehorn in a star of a TV show on their network that nobody that has no reason to be at the Oscars, mm-hmm. You know, and they're like coming to like NBC, like what is it on ABC, coming to ABC, like
let's actually, so, you know. this will be a fun thing to speculate on. Let's look at the at the shows that are on ABC right now, the newish ones, and see, cut this out. I'm sorry. Current programming. Okay. So we got Stumptown is new. I feel like they veer towards
Colby?
The newer shows. Kobe Smulders
Colby
is presenting Best Picture. Okay, we got
no, she's not.
We got Mixed-ish, which means we're probably going to get some Tracee Ellis Ross, perhaps.
Oh, definitely, because she has amazing
new
style.
Show.
She'll be there.
What
she'll
are the new shows?
There.
Oh, Kids Say the Darndest Things. Perhaps a Tiffany Haddish.
100% will be there. Mm-hmm, she's in movies. Mm-hmm, she'll be
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's mostly it for the new shows that I think are sort of.
Right. And then you have like the, you know, the classic. You have Grey's Anatomy, Modern Family is ending soon. I'm sure one of them will be there.
There's the show Goldbergs. For Life that's coming up. And it's like a drama.
Who is it?
Maybe the cast that we've never heard of. Nicholas Pinnock, Indira Varma, Joy Bryant, Dorian Missick. Maybe these new people are going to come up.
You know who will probably be there?
Tell me.
The Good Doctor himself. That's right.
Frankie. What's his name? Frankie Highmore.
Frankie Muniz?
Freddie Highmore. Freddie Highmore.
Freddie Highmore, the Good Doctor. He'll be there.
You know who might be there? Did you know Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is coming back?
No. Yes, I did.
And Jimmy Kimmel is going to host it. Maybe Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, he'll definitely be there. They need like comedians because they do need the buffer to start it with funny things. Like they.
I watched last year's opening yesterday, the one where Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and Maya Rudolph introed it, because I was like, oh yeah, that was sort of funny, and everyone was like, why don't they host it? And again, how often do we have to remind you? The host doesn't really do much. The host is there at the beginning for the monologue and then sort of steps away. So as long as the opening people are funny, they were last year, that'll be fine. You know?
And it's like they don't have to be the host to open the show. They can just do a thing. And actually,
it's really awkward
when the host comes back and does a bit that responds to the part before, but also that is pre-written for the... it's not... Hostless is not the worst thing we've done. It is kind of a bummer to lose that... part of it, if only just because of the history of hosting the Oscars, but
I sort of like the surprise of this, and I mean you're talking to two people who are going to watch the Oscars no matter what, like an android, like Ashley O or Sim One could host the Oscars and we'd tune in.
They could be like, Halsey is hosting and winning every Oscar, and I'm like, well, I guess I'd be tuning in.
I hate that I have to watch this, and it's like, you know, like what a burden. I have to watch the Oscars. And it's Halsey.
My chain self to couch and is like, oh, God.
Yeah, Halsey and Sim One and that Honda robot, that Amoeba robot. You know the Honda robot? Is like, that's it. And it's like, this is so annoying that I have to watch the Oscars and I'm up until 3 a.m. You know, like, we're going to watch it no matter what.
I know. It's like a disease to watch the Oscars.
What was that Honda robot called?
Me sitting alone watching the Grammys just by myself with no one there and the lights out. Everyone in Florida. It was just like the most depressing thing. I was like, why is this
in Florida?
Why is this my fate?
Acemo.
Yeah, it was
terrible. Acemo.
Who would also be there? Who's that that lady robot with just the head who's like very lifelike, who everyone was obsessed with? Her name was like Annie or Allie.
Oh, Sophia? Sophia.
Is that her name? Sophia, yeah, she'd be there too.
And she sort of looks like an elegant middle-aged actress who like gay Twitter would stan. Yeah, that's Sophia.
Yeah, yeah, she's like, hello and welcome to the.
No, look at her.
Oscar.
Doesn't she look like? That's not what she looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be like, we stan her. Yeah. Give her more roles. Like, that's Sophia.
She looks great, honestly. I mean, she could use a wig, but she looks great. For her age, which is ageless because she's a robot.
No, her wig has been snatched. Like, that's what's going on.
pre-snatched wig. Okay, so the point is that that's
me whenever we
reach
singularity. Wig snatched. Okay,
forever.
Can we end this episode? That'd be really fun to end the episode.
I'm desperate to end it.
Okay, thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There. Thank you for all of your calls. Listening to the calls is just a true joy for all of us. We got some really fun ones this week. Just know, please know that we listen to them and we send them to each other whenever we, because we split
them
up.
Please know.
They're so much fun for us. Just know that they're fun for us personally. And that's why we love when you call. Especially when you say, oh, we got some great Don't Play It on the episode calls this week. You know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Let's just say one call came at 3:45 a.m. on a Thursday morning. And I was like, ooh, here we go. Okay.
Spicy.
Call 619 who them to leave us those types of calls and also questions, comments, concerns you would like played on the show. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love them so much. And we will see you on Tuesday. What's happening this weekend? Rabbit, I guess.
Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl. Oh, Gaga! Gaga might be releasing
Gaga
her
announced
song.
It. Oh
wait, can
love.
I play this call really quickly?
Is Gaga's week Song, who is obviously a gay man, but just want to know. Bye.
Gaga's lead song is...
Gaga's lead single is a gay
Gaga's lead single is a gay them. It's a who, but I really hope she plays it on Saturday. Not that I've heard it. I have not heard it. How could I possibly hear this
song? Yeah, I don't
even
know
what
you're talking
about.
I've never heard it.
I would love to hear it for the first time.
It was leaked and I would never listen.
I would love to hear it for the first time.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
You will say that. They want to know.
To be famous.
I am not on Twitter, and I just found out that Timmy Thicke is back. Long time. Where were you guys on Timmy Thicke? You're out here talking about fucking Meghan Markle every single day, and yet Timmy Thicke has been posting for over a month, and you guys didn't have a word to say about it? What is this? Play the call. Bye.